I'm going to HCC to get my associate's degree.
I'm getting certified as an EMT.
To raise my GPA.
No institution does more to get students where they're going faster than HCC. We keep Houston working. HCC. Smart decision.
Welcome back to Radio Faces Extra. I'm John McClain, here at Houston Community College Main Street Studios. I've got with me three former players, my three musketeers, and this is where they're going to critique the coaches, but let me tell you who they played for. Chester Pitts, he started off playing for Dom Capers, then Gary Kubiak, Seth Payne, Tom Coughlin, and then he played here for Dom Capers. And I can't remember, did you play for Kubiak?
I played for Kubiak for about three games.
Three games. And then Ted Johnson played for Bill Parcells, and he played for Bill Belichick. So, Ted, let's start with you.
Okay.
What do you think about the job Gary Kubiak did? What does he need to do better in the offseason and next season to make sure
they get farther? There's dialogue of, should he go? Kind of, I've heard that a little bit. Let's pump the brakes, okay? Coach Kubiak's a good coach. He's a stable force for this team. I think he, I like his style. I like the way how he handles it. The guys they bring in, I like. They're good guys. The only thing I would say is, be maybe more aggressive in getting some more playmakers. I think it comes down to the scouting, department. I think it's about, free agent, being aggressive in the free agent market. I think those are things they need to work on. But Coach Kubiak himself, I put a lot of the onus on the players. I mean, a lot of times, you can call a play as a coach, but if the guys aren't executing it, that's not the coach's fault. So I put a lot of the blame more on the players in the recent collapse and more on the coach.
Seth, what do you think about the job Wade Phillips did?
I think he's done well. I think in certain respects, he's got some player personnel issues as well. Wade Phillips is a guy that no matter how he wants to do it, he's going to get pressure on the quarterback. The way it is with these guys, they've got a blitz to do that. And he's not willing to give up that lack of pressure or that pressure on the quarterback by not blitzing. If they could get a four-man pass rush next year, if Whitney Mercilus could step up and be that guy, Connor Barwin or Brooks Reed, if Connor is here on the team, those guys need to be able to provide more of a presence in the pass rush without having to blitz. It makes it a lot easier on your defensive backs. When you end up with backup linebackers in there like they did this year, it makes it a lot easier on guys like Barrett Rood.
Chester, what do you think about job Rick Dennison and his offensive staff did?
You know what? The offense was solid. Was the offense where it needed to be? Probably not, but you know what? Everyone has somewhere where they can work on to get better. And once they get that done, I believe that'll be there. I mean, Dennison, he's obviously done a pretty good job. He's getting, where'd he go, up to Chicago and just get an interview? He's doing a decent job. Probably won't get the job. He'll be here. But I believe he did a good job. And, I would say, am I a fan and am I a supporter? I think he'll be here next year and he's going to find a way to get him on track, get him where they need to be.
What do you think about the right side of the line, the way they rotated so many young players?
Well, it was important because they had to do it. They did not have a guy that was the guy. Newton wasn't ready. Ben Jones wasn't ready. Antoine Caldwell, I really thought, this is going to be his year where he step up, found a way, his contract year to get things done. And he fell short as well. They did the rotation because basically what happens, you have to be efficient. The better you are as a player, the more efficient you are. They're burning through more energy on a play-by-play basis because they're not where they need to be just yet. And in order to sustain for 70 plays during the game, you got to rotate and get a fresh body in there. And that's what's giving them the best opportunity to be successful on that right side of the line.
Seth, how unusual was it when most of your pass rush comes from your linemen in a 3-4, not your outside linebackers?
It's very unusual for a 3-4 defensive end to have the kind of production that J.J. did. The one thing they do a lot is that in Wade Phillips' version of a 3-4, J.J. lines up one-on-one with the guard more. And because they blitz a lot, he gets more one-on-ones. That's one reason to blitz with this team. People always ask, why would you leave J.J. Watt one-on-one? That's Wade Phillips doing. So you got to credit Wade Phillips for finding ways to get J.J. Watt one-on-one. But again, in a 3-4, any 3-4, I think it's just crucial you have a pass rushing outside linebacker, a guy like a DeMarcus Ware, a Clay Matthews, James Harrison in his prime. Those guys make all the difference. One of these guys, one of these three guys that's on the team right now, you'd love to see step up and be that guy.
Ted, Reggie Herring, linebackers coach, started five inside linebackers because of injuries. I've never seen that. How much did that hurt continuity of the linebackers and the defense?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, I've talked about it when Seth and I do our shows. It's like the middle linebacker is the conduit between the defensive line and the secondary. He's kind of the stable force. He's the guy that takes the plays in, relays it to the defense, lines up, makes the check. So he needs to be a confident leader, somebody who's out there all the time. I think Brian Cushing, who's one of my absolute favorite players on this team, missing him, it was huge. So we need to put that more, highlight that more, because I think that was a critical thing, not having the continuity and the guys in there week in, week out. So the confidence of the defense was, you know, who's making the plays, who's making the adjustments from week to week, guys didn't know.
Chester, yeah. Special teams, they were inconsistent, but boy, they were good at the end. What do you think about special teams moving forward?
Well, the biggest thing you said out of the gate was the inconsistency. Early on, Trendon Holiday, you know, he had an amazing preseason. Everybody thought he was going to break every record possible. He was with you for the first 5 or 6 weeks. Didn't make as many plays as you would have liked him to make, but then he happens to go somewhere else, be successful. Same thing with Jacoby. Is that all the coach's fault? I don't believe so. I was with Joe for all the years I played there, and it's one of those situations where this year it just kind of got away from him. He's had plenty of years when he was a doggone good coach, and the Texans special teams, I remember early on when we were playing together, I mean, they were top five.
No, and I asked a few linebackers that I used to play with about that this year. I said, what do you think about Joe Marciano? And each one of them said, they're talking about firing Joe?
Yeah.
And, you know, guys,
anybody,
guys that have been good special teams players on this team really respect Joe Marciano.
Yeah.
If they fired Joe, he'd get a job by sunset?
I mean, I would think so. If you look at the track record, you look at what he pulled together, the fact that he was that's the smart decision we talked about earlier of stepping up, finding a way, taking your starting safety that plays 75 plays a game for you, and you putting him out there to return kicks because you know you need that spark. That's what was necessary, and they made the call.
Yeah, and I don't know if these guys had the depth on this team that we thought they did going into camp, even exiting camp. And those are your guys. Those are your special teams players. When you see Danielle Manning rip off those kickoff returns like he did, it seems to tell you that it's not a scheme issue. It's the guys that are in there. And similarly, what we talked about with offense and defense, that all kinds of leads towards – okay, this is a big year for the personnel guys because maybe we don't have the depth we thought we did. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys aren't performing for these proven coaches the way they thought they were. Let's get some guys in who can.
And I think just real quick, what you mentioned is schematically, there's not much you can do from game to game schematically. So it's more about the players than it is Joe Marciano and his schemes.
2010, Neil Racker set the team record for points. Gone. This year, Shane Graham set the team record. Will he be gone and Randy Bullock be the kicker? Chester, what do you think?
Well, they drafted him. Is this the only time they drafted a kicker?
Yep.
They drafted a kicker for a reason. I would be hard-pressed to think that a kicker that they drafted who's not going, you know, is not going to be their guy. There's a good chance, a very strong possibility that Shane Graham, even though, you know, we gave him a hard time all season early on, he missed a couple kicks, but in the clutch, in the big 55-yarder.
Kickoffs, though.
Yeah,
that's where the kick from A&M is going to kick it into the end zone if his groin is healthy. He struggled with that all preseason.
Very good point.
Ted, did they bring back Donnie Jones, the punter?
I think so. I mean, you kidding me? That guy was a weapon for this team. He was phenomenal, I thought, this year. Had a bad game last week, but, yeah, absolutely bring him back.